Gazelles, you guys can breathe. ERC is done for a couple of weeks. It's Investec Champions Cup. It's the big one. The biggest knockout tournament in Europe. In terms of club rugby, the biggest in the world. And we have the opportunity. We as South Africans have the opportunity of something rather special. The Bulls beat Glasgow in Glasgow, which will be a hell of an achievement given how well Franco Smith's boys have done this season. And the Stormers knock over Toulon at the Stade Mayol. It will be a famous win, but I keep on saying it isn't the Toulon side of the Brian Habana, Bucky's Boerters, John Smith, Joe Fonica, Johnny Wilkinson era. It's not that side. Mm-hmm. The Carl Heymans, the Ali Williamses, Lobe. It's not those boys. The Gittows, Nonu's. I can keep on going. Okay?
Nonu's there, mate.
Drew Mitchell. Nonu is actually there, but he's 48. Yeah. No, he's just 42.
Yeah.
But the Stormers, it's a game we believe they can win, and the Bulls, they can win. What's comforted me the most, and you've got the Stormers second in the URC, 11 wins from 14. You've got the Bulls, 8 from 14 in 8th place, but poised to strike to be in the top 5. And both coaches have come out and been very vocal. We're taking our best squads. We believe we can win this, and we want to go further. And if they both win, they come to Cape Town for a quarterfinal, where the Bulls will feel they can win. They've won here before. Mm-hmm. And the Stormers feel they can win. And that sets us up for an historic semi-final so early on in our history in the Investec Champions Cup. So much to play for this weekend, bud. But important that they both go in to this playoff last 16 on the back of a winning habit in the URC.
Absolutely. Both teams have got momentum from success in the URC. The Stormers Toulon game is before the Bulls Glasgow game. So the Bulls will know whether they're playing for a trip to Cape Town or a trip to Toulon. And I think that will have some bearing on this game because the Bulls are in eighth place in the URC and they are fighting to kind of solidify their space in the playoff hunt there, I think. For the Stormers, they're basically playing for a home quarterfinal, which is a huge carrot. And so I think it would be absolutely incredible for South African rugby if the Stormers had to host the Bulls in an Investec Champions Cup quarterfinal. Be fantastic for both teams, obviously. And I'm hoping that's the result we get. It is tough to win in France. It is tough to win at Glasgow. But like you said, both of these teams have the capability to do that. As much as Toulon are not the team that they were on paper back in the day, they are still, in terms of the quality of the players on that squad, they do have teeth. That is a proper team. But they're just in a slump of form. And for Toulon, who are 11th in the top 14, this playoff game and this Champions Cup is an opportunity at redemption because the likelihood of them winning the top 14 is very, very slim. But if they're champions of Europe, that kind of makes up for a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, and we know with the French teams, they make a call early on. If they drop two pool games, they sacrifice going further in Europe and they focus on their domestic challenge. If they are struggling in the domestic challenge, the Investec Champions Cup becomes everything for them. And Toulon, again, one thing there's no fear of is that if they have to play one of their French club colleagues or rivals, there's not that, wow, we've got to go somewhere.
Sure.
Central France or somewhere down the coast. It's a neighbor that they're playing. For us, I think primarily with the Stormers is assess and judge the team you're playing, not the history of that club you're playing or the jersey. We used to say it a lot with the All Blacks is a Bok team would play the All Blacks and be in the reckoning, and the guys would say after 45, 50 minutes, we realized these guys actually aren't that good, but they were wearing that black jersey.
Yeah.
And that kind of gave them 15 points as a start. Mm. Now, we know the history of the Stade Mayol. We kind of know all the glory stories because so many South Africans were involved in their wonderful era. Mm. 7 at one stage. Now it's David Ribbons. Went to school in Somerset College, played for Province under 19s, went over to England, played for England, and he's captaining Toulon. And I mean, 2 years ago, they came and they beat the Stormers at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium, and they were very good, and he was one of the stars of the show. So that's the only South African connection there. So we have no divided loyalties here. The Stormers are playing an international team, okay, mm-hmm. with only one South African in, and the Bulls are playing a Glasgow team with a South African captain, South African coach. One's got a history from being at Stellenbosch University, Carl Steyn, and Greg was the other one. Franco Smith, his history with the Bulls is that he played his last test match against the All Blacks at Loftus and the Springboks lost 34-18 that day. Nick Mallow was in charge. Franco double between 10 and 12. So this is all South African. This show, obviously, is one-eyed when it comes to wanting the South African sides to win, but an absolute acknowledgement about the quality of teams that are in this last 16. And there's some big, big, big games. But the focus for us has to be on the potential of the Bulls and the Stormers getting that quarterfinal in South Africa. Looking at the Bulls, the trajectory, the one hiccup was the defeat to the Stormers. That was Derby Day. We know form book goes out the window. Mate against mate, boot against boot, state against state. It's the greatest leveler. The trajectory, what you've seen, players coming back into form, the veterans back again, where are they positioned realistically when it comes to going and knocking over Glasgow?
Yeah, so the Bulls have won four of their last five. Glasgow have won four of their last five. They are log leaders, and they've shown that they can beat the Bulls in big games. So that's something that the Bulls will want to reverse. And the Bulls have had, you know, a really slow start to the season, but have recovered really well to become a formidable contender in the URC. I think they've got belief and momentum. I think the trick now is to get on a plane and go and do this in the Northern Hemisphere against a team that are overwhelming favourites. And in a way, I think that actually counts in their favour. I think the expectation will be that the Bulls lose this game. And to be able to play with that sort of freedom, I think will make the Bulls dangerous. And if you watch them play at the weekend, one thing the Bulls have in abundance, we already know that they've got power, but they have got speed and it in an overwhelming volume of speed. I mean, Cheswell Yuster scored one of the tries of the season at the weekend. Imbros Papi, also absolute turbo. You know, they can punch you in the face and then they can run away from you faster than you can catch them. So these guys are dangerous. If they put it together, they can absolutely ambush the hosts in Scotstown. It just comes down to on the day. And I suppose, like I say, if they know that a win brings them to Cape Town, which is a place that they know much more than Stade Mayol, I think the incentive will definitely be there. So, you know, you've got them as underdogs, you've got the quality of their roster, and then potentially you've got them playing for a place in a Cape Town playoff. I think those three things combined could be exactly what the Bulls need.
Looking at their match against Munster, Munster made eight changes to the side and eight very significant ones. Craig Casey and Jack Crowley, the Irish international half-back, just them being back.
Totally.
Made a massive difference.
Yeah.
The side beaten 45-0 by the Sharks was not the side that was picked to play at Loftus. They've always enjoyed playing at the Highveld Munster. And the one thing that's more and more is in this day and age of professional rugby and so much travel, the altitude factor is no more. Every time you see the international teams finish as strong as the Bulls or the Lions up north, no one's running out of gas as they used to in the old days. They are well conditioned. And we've seen that often, especially with the Irish teams, that they finish well. We saw Leinster when they bought a mixer match of Academy and needed David Creel's last minute penalty to get the Bulls a win last season. But again, Munster were so strong in the finish and the Bulls won it. Vili Leroux, a bit of magic, a 50-22, the old dog, the old Wiley Fox, produced a clutch moment to basically relieve all the pressure at 34-31, where everything pointed to a confident surge from Munster. But when Jan Ackerman looks back on it, you'll probably say, I wanted that kind of game going into a quarterfinal because it tested various playoff elements.
Yep.
Can you hang on to a three-point lead? Can Andre Pollard again replicate the decade of glorious big clutch kicking off the tee, which he did, two long-range penalties? My big, big 100-test veteran actually produces the player that I wanted, and the form players are there, rather than a 36-6, 45-0 blowout before they go there and they kind of find, we're up against a team who will tackle at home. I mean, it is the kind of game they would have wanted.
Absolutely. I mean, Munster are the sort of copybook blue-collar team, aren't they? They're physical and they are abrasive. And for a team like the Bulls, that's exactly the kind of rachmacher you need to get ready for a huge playoff game in the Champions Cup. I think, to your point, Munster challenged them in the right places, and I think the Bulls responded in the right way. Andre Pollard, like you say, on point again. And so, yeah, the perfect tee-up for this game. And now the Bulls need to run with that and get a famous victory at Glasgow.
And they have won before historically over there. So it's also not
true.
And we forget the Bulls. A lot of critique of Jake White. I mean, we both have always adored Jake as a coach. But getting to three finals out of four, I mean, that's a great achievement. We just felt he could have done more. Had there been more cohesion with his coaches? Has there been a greater bond with his team? And that there was a distance in, and that's kind of why the departure happened.
Mm.
But they're a good side with some great players in it and a great mixture of youth and hardened test veterans who may not be in the Bok mix at the moment or ever again, but they're still so good at club level. And then a guy like Ruan Nokia, I think he's the best lock in South Africa currently. And a guy you could play at seven flank as well. And just got a yellow card in South, and then still nearly topped every stat when he came back on. You got Ulrich Lowe, who's really playing well. You know, we know what you get in Marcel Kutsia. Nizam Kaas playing some of the best rugby. Rudolph's not maybe making the starting 15. You got Cameron Honeycomb coming back. And then to see a Bulls pack dominate basically without Wilco, Klopper on the tight head, Grobbies, who certainly cemented his position in the box. And then I liked Gerard Steenkamp. I mean, he gave Alatawa a working over. That Bulls side has got an Embrace Papier, you know, like form of his life. It's a good, good side.
It's more than good, mate. It's really a quality. That is an elite roster. There isn't a position in that Bulls squad that you think is an area of weakness. They've got quality across the park. I mean, there isn't one, literally. You've got Wilco Lowe at three. You've got an abundance of halfbacks, including Andre Pollard. At fullback, you've got a guy called Willy LaRue, who's been there and done it. Knows how to take control of a game, and he's backed up by Devin Williams, who's an explosive X-factor player. And then they can always play Davy Creel there. He's, you know, on his way to France, I think. So they've got tons of quality players across the park. I think what Akers has done is he's brought what he does and he's meshed it with the Bulls' traditional strengths, and they're starting to find a really good mix there, a good recipe for success. And now they've got to apply that recipe on foreign shores in a big playoff game. And I think that's the next step in the evolution of this team. And hopefully they pass it with flying colours.
But if you look from a national perspective as well, Rassie Erasmus looks at, we enter round 14 of the URC, we've played 14 rounds, we're into the last 16 of the Investec Champions Cup, the Sharks are still in the EPCR Challenge Cup, the Japanese leagues are flying, the Prem, the top 14, all his players are out there, the players he wants to pick for the international season. And just as it comes to this trajectory, the old dog starts standing up again. The big guys.
True.
What do you take from this last weekend? You take from the guy who's won us two World Cups, playing at 10, produces moments that you think this could be a World Cup playoff again. 250-meter penalties, key decisions, execution accuracy from Pollard that was just spot on. And just a reminder to the South African public, I'm 31. Sasha was the guy last year for all good reasons. Marnie's still there. He's a good player. But don't write me off.
I mean, look.
And Rassie will never write him off. He just proved again his class and quality when it matters most. The great ones stand tallest.
Yeah. Well, I think Test rugby is where it matters most. And I suppose the players that end up sort of seeping to the top of the food chain are the guys that perform in those kind of environments. And so when the club scene aligns with that kind of a situation, that context, those guys really do step up and come to the forward. So that's exactly the kind of environment that Andre thrives in, is win or go home. You know, that's his speciality. He is the Iceman. And so this game at Glasgow is the perfect situation for him to do what he does best.
Talk to me a bit about Ambrose Papier.
What a player. I mean, spoken about his speed indefinitely. I think he is thriving behind a pack of forwards that dominates and can go forward. I think he's thriving in a team where the 10 and 15 are experienced veteran players making experienced veteran decisions. I think that takes a lot of weight off him and probably creates a lot of clarity for him around where to go, when to go. There is decision making. The process in that is probably very streamlined because of that. He's got the wheels to expose teams around the fringes. The Bulls have made a concerted effort to be more direct and to snipe and to have a go, pick and go, short passes, one pass stuff to compress defenses before they go wide. I think that's been great for him. It really brings him into the game. And then his kicking game over the years has improved massively. You know, that's something he's obviously spent a lot of time and energy focusing on. I think he's the perfect fit for a dominant pack and experienced halfbacks and then speed out wide. He fits that hole perfectly.
So he should be a perfect fit for the Bucks.
I mean, he's a great guy, I think, for Rusty. I mean, we spoke about it last week with Hershey and his experience with the Springboks, and Rusty probably feeling like he's more of a known commodity in Rusty's plans. But for me, Ambrose is a guy I would have had a very close eye at, because if Grant Williams is unavailable, Ambrose is a straight swap, in my opinion. So that's a guy I would have looked at.
But you look at Ambrose Papier, and I think he's doing everything right. Head down, he just keeps on playing well. He missed the Stormers game, and it was noticeable. What I love about Akers as well, he's explaining his team selections when he picks Stedman Gans. Why? Because he's actually the form player. Why have you moved Kane and Moody back? Because I need to accommodate him. I need to accommodate Yuster on the bench.
Yeah.
He's making calls as much based on form than historical form. And I think that's great in a season where he's recognizing, actually, I need an Azam Carr to start because he's found a rich vein of form. I'm not going to go back to what worked in the first six matches that he took over.
Mm.
So there is something building with that Bulls side.
Definitely.
And we've been saying it for a while, regardless of that Stormers result, there is something seriously good building it. We have to still wrap the URC, and there is something really cool about the Lions at the moment. And dogged about the Sharks. I think the thing that shocked me the most about the Lions was Chris Smith missing two kicks. The first one, a sitter. You just don't think it's a bit like Mornay Steyn, who's his coach there now. You remember the ones he missed more than the eight he kicked.
Yeah.
But he kind of settled. What I enjoyed was when they went 21-18 down. Against, like you say, a dogged team in terms of the Dragons. The Lions of a season or two ago may have just folded. Boom, boom, boom. 41-21 kind of thing. 46-21.
Yeah.
42-21 and then 42-26.
Yeah.
Another 5 points. First team to go past 400 points. It's just, and without Kruppies, and Nico Steyn comes in and he's player of the match.
Yeah.
It's just Rumfenter against Strom. But there's a maturity about the game. It comes down to Chris Smith at Fluff. He's really changed the dynamic of that side.
No, I think that whole team, immaturity is a good word for them. They're the only South African team this week who won both halves of their game. And they're on the high fault and they do finish strong. And they still have an understanding around that. So I think the Lions are a really good team. The fact that they haven't made the cut in the Challenge Cup playoffs will have disappointed them, but it's probably narrowed their focus, and they're having one of their best URC seasons ever, probably concentrating all their resources on the URC this season may have helped them with that a little bit. But the Lions are a really, really mature team. They don't necessarily have the depth of the other sides, but the pieces that they have in their starting lineup are quality. And then you've got a bunch of guys that just play above what the perception is of their level. And I think as a collective, the Lions are probably get more out of themselves than some of the other teams in this competition. So they're in a very good space. I think they're doing really good things.
So when we spoke about the 4 from 6 SA Shield winners the last couple of weeks, please go and knock over some of the overseas teams and do it well. That'd when you're amazing. Playing at home.
Especially those last two games.
And then they put 54 past Edinburgh, 42 past the Dragons. A Dragons side that came within 8 points of the Stormers, even if the collective of the game wasn't that. But of the away games, had lost three of them by less than 6 points. And have really been a lot better than what they, I know it's a cliche, than their league position shows. Mm. And the Lions broke them in a 10-minute spell, which the Lions are capable of doing. Fifth on the table, they were momentarily fourth. It's the highest they've ever been after 14 rounds. Some cool things going on there. And that two-week break, like you say, they come out firing. And they are a team that traditionally has actually been able to go overseas and do quite well. So here's hoping for them. One never knows, eh? You look again, and they could be in the top four. And that means
it'd be amazing.
Home playoffs as well.
Wow.
So great things there. But what I really enjoyed about the shark side, and JP Peterson spoke of one step forward and two back, and he needs to narrow that. Just the mentality they showed to get that win against Cardiff, and the conditions were atrocious. I mean, your boys went up and played on the Friday night. The Stormers 23 in the new SA under 23 competition against the Sharks and won 21-10. But JP Peterson's mentality, that is rubbing off on this team and Andre Esterhazy's leadership. They don't go away.
Well, I mean, they won that game because of JP's coaching, if you ask me, because the Sharks were not good in that first half at all. I predicted that they'd lose that game, and it looked like that was the way it was going to go. But JP sort of yanked his guys early. He made some early substitutions there in the front row, and really restored some sort of control of that game. And that's how the Sharks ended up sort of holding on to win it. They didn't win the second half. They lost 3-0 in the second half, but they did enough in that second quarter to obviously win the game and beat Cardiff. A Cardiff team that's probably a little bit underrated. They are a sneaky good team, that. So, again, this is the second week in a row now. We're having brave calls from JP make things happen. You know, it was Guillaume at fullback, big changes on the bench, sort of pulling the trigger nice and early. You know, JP's taking big strides nice and early, and the Sharks are getting the reward from it.
But then you look again, like when you've got Oxenchair, best loose head in the world, scrumming loose head, and it's like, I'm getting you on now. It reminds me of Italy, South Africa, when Rassi, he made those changes after 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Under pressure, man down, we have to do this now. We can't wait till after the 10 minutes in the shed. And then Vincent Koch, again, old dog who stood up, big moments. You look at the Sharks, you look at the Lions, obviously the Bulls, and then you look again at the Stormers. Brock Harris and that tight five got the Stormers out of a very, very tricky situation, all self-induced, because they were in total control of that game. But to be 14-12 down going into the last quarter, you think, how? Our scrumming is just next on level. Another level in terms of the global game. And it's not the Springboks have a strong pack. South African rugby, every one of our teams, it is one of the great weapons. And that's what makes rugby union so unique. That's exactly why we don't play rugby league.
Exactly.
Because we have a scrum. And it's not a restart. It's a point of attack. And it's a powerful weapon.
Yeah, no, 100%. Look, I'm a huge fan of the scrum, always have been. And the guys that are sort of at the coalface of coaching scrumming and then the props and the hookers themselves are a unique bunch of characters. And it's been absolutely fabulous to be right there with Brock in the coaching box to see his reactions and just how invested he is in that scrum. He's doing great things there. You know, Maul came to the party. Set piece has been good for the whole season. So the Stormers are close to leaders in most key metrics. And I think that the key now is just to put it all together. So if you look at individual stuff, you say, wow, these guys are great at the line-out, great at the scrum, great at defense, great at the attack, you know, in key metrics. But I think the key now is to put it all together and actually have a full 80-minute performance where we don't just control in sections, we control the whole game. And we've got the game breakers, as you've seen with the Sashes and the Gazes of this world. And Warwick Khalantu was outstanding at the weekend, I thought. But the key is now to put it all together and sort of deliver a great performance, which is hopefully what happens this week at Stormail.
If you look at the URC, second the Storm is 11 from 14, their best ever start, 51 points. Glasgow, obviously, top. You've got the Lions, best ever, fifth. You've got the Bulls, eighth, but they're striking to be in that top five. And you've got the Sharks have climbed up from 14th to 10th. Well-positioned going into a fortnight break. Lost 16 Investec Champions Cup, lost eight. We are hopeful that we've got two South African teams, at worst, at least one in the last eight. It is the premier competition, club competition in Europe, in the world, given who's playing in it. It brings the best of top 14, that's France, the best of the Prem, and obviously the best of URC together. When you look at the Stormers, 21,000 made it out. The average crowd, 27,000. Again, the best crowd of the weekend in the competition. You look at the Stormers. Dobbo spoke afterwards and basically answered his own question. And then Dobbo's not a guy who can have a dig at the media or have a dig at anyone. He tries, but he can't. And he was like, not happy. You could see, I mean, if you'd gone in with the Turkish hair extensions, they wouldn't be there. Okay. Because as Skull said to him, it's coach killers.
I'm just picturing that.
It's coach killers, okay? Where you do everything right and then the execution's wrong or the decision-making's wrong or the fundamentals, penalty to the corner, missing touch, they come on the counter. Don't take the easy three. Try and take a 55-meter angle kick. Misses. We're under the cosh. 14-12 down. How have we got to this position? And then that Stormers transition, the magic. You say, boogeyman. Creates something. Gazza does his thing. Sasha produces that big up and under, catches it himself and sets up the try. But he spoke about not being happy and then said, but I don't understand the critique. We are 11 from 14 and we're second in the table and we're going to play in the Champions Cup last 16. But the frustration is exactly what he mentioned. The coach killer is what's killing the fan watching that team. It's fair comment. I mean, I know you're in the setup, but it's fair comment if you're just an observer and you take all emotion out. The Stormers at the moment are a very frustrating team to watch.
Mm.
because you just know they're going to get out of jail somehow, but you just think, can't you make it a bit easier over 80? And somehow just sometimes do the basics a bit better, and then we can all relax.
Well, I mean, the Stormers 133-14, and at stages in that game, I mean, they were down 14-12. So, you know, you look at that final results and you think, wow, this team was in control of this game, and the Stormers were in control of that game. But there are parts of that game where you kind of glance at each other and you think, where are we right now? What's going on here? So, again, it comes down to putting it all together, right? You can have you can perform in flashes that are very, very hot, but if you connect those things with moments of poor decision-making or poor execution, it kind of takes the pressure off your opponents. And I think that's where the frustration starts to seep in. It's just being able to put it all together consistently so that a positive carry results in a line break, which results in a finish, not a positive carry, a line break, and then an unforced error, or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just about putting it all together. The fact that the Stormers can save themselves like they have been is phenomenal. It reminds me a bit of 2012, when everybody was very much against the Stormers, who for most of the season were top of the log or second of the log, had the great wall of Newlands. No one could score against them, made 200 plus tackles a game. And people the whole season was complaining about the quality of the performances instead of enjoying the results. And in hindsight, they had something. I mean, and this is what I always say, is the media is may not be for the right reason, but the media is always right about what they're saying. And so that game ended up with the Sharks ambushing the Stormers at Newlands, which wasn't the ideal result. And I think this Stormers team this season has the opportunity still, because there's still a lot of games before the end of the season, to put everything together and play a full 80 minutes and kind of evolve from being a team that can save themselves from dicey situations to a team that controls all facets of the game for the duration and probably starts producing the kind of rugby that Stormers fans are used to seeing. So I think we're close. And like I say, we have great numbers and great performance metrics in key facets of the game. The key is just to actually tie that all together and deliver connected performance.
Again, looking at Dobbo, Big Skulk was interviewing him before the game and said, talk about the number 14 you've picked. And he said, we knew it'd be contentious. We also knew the nine would be contentious, the 40-yard nine and Damien Willems on the way. I don't think it's contentious at all. In the context of Imi Khan's coming, Reinach is injured or on his way back from recovery from the groin operation. And Ungerer was going to always start. Who else is there? It has to be Devon Archer to come on. And he's been around the 100 games, nearly 100 for Benetton. It's like wonderful player to have there and still fit enough to be playing that level. And playing Willems on the wing reminded me of the All Blacks playing Richard Kahui on the wing. This out-and-out bruising centre, but he was very good on the high ball. So you had a situation where you had Israel Dagg, you had Corey Jane, and you had Kahui and three guys who were outstanding in 2011 under the high ball. They diffused all the bombs. And they talk about rugby coming in cycles. There's a lot of similarities 2011 and 2026 in terms of the aerial game and the need to retain your ball or to defuse the big bombs. And I thought Damien was outstanding again in the calm he gives, because he's such a good footballer. He can play anywhere in the back line. Mm. And it's not going to be a permanent position, but you could play him on the wing, and he's just technically so strong that he's going to do his job because he understands space, he understands width, he understands his own game. Mm. I just then again look at moments of there's structure and then there's a lack of structure that just seems confusing in terms of the structure. So there's that kind of natural DNA. We're going to play, but we actually can't play. We've got to actually kick it and then play field position. And that for me, just as an observer, was hell of a frustrating. And thinking you've done all the hard work and then the chicken wing pass comes out. Why? You know, Dobbo mentioned it. He said, we give them 7 points when we just have to play what's in front of us to score 10 minutes from the try line. We don't need an expansive play or pass.
Mm. I mean, that's the connected stuff we talk. So just on Damien Willems, so first of all, massive credit to him. He's a two-time winning Springbok, two-time World Cup winning Springbok, who, for the sake of the team, was quite happy to line up on the wing. And he's obviously phenomenal under the high ball. I just think it's a massive credit to a player like that to kind of accept that kind of role. And then, yeah, just so I spoke about the connectedness of all those facets of play. So, we did all the hard yards. We got there. We were 5 meters from the line, but to convert that into a try, and it turns into a try on the opposite end of the field. And that's obviously not the result you want. And that's the point I'm making, is that if that had been converted into a try, and I mean, sport is all about ifs and buts and maybes, the reality is it wasn't. But if it had been, we'd be talking about a very different game here. And those are the small margins that are the difference between being in complete control of the game and playing in bursts. And I think that's something that is a work on. Obviously, the sort of 22-meter conversion rate is something that is a work on, and some of the option taking in that part of the field. But I thought the Stormers did a great job to control the game. Massive volume of kicks, incredible in the sky. I thought we did a great job winning contestables. And so the trick there is to then convert that ascendancy into points at a much higher click. And that's the work on. Going into Toulon, it's about being able to kick kicks, win them in the air, and then take that ball that you've got behind enemy lines and get it over the try line.
And we talk about going north, be it to England, to Scotland, or to France, because that's where you've got to go if you're going to win an island, to win playoff games now. The one thing we do have is that set piece and a scrum. And sure, that's normally the key ingredient you've got to take in to be successful on that side. And especially against the French teams, if you can stand up to them up front or even have a bit of parity, you're in a good position to win, whether you're playing them there or playing them here. Mm. And we do have that.
Mm.
And we need to kind of focus on that.
Very much so. No, I mean, we've got, when it comes to set piece play, I think South Africa are leaders specifically at the scrum. We've got a culture around it. We enjoy it. You know, we don't pick players in the tight five to sort of contribute in general play primarily. They're there to win the set piece. And I think we've got the right guys for it. We've got the cattle for it, and we've got the appetite to contest there. I think we do a great job of it. The French, historically, if you can knock them back a bit in that part of the game, they kind of take a big backward step and start to think about other things. So that is vital. It is vital to get ascendancy in that department. And obviously it's key. Defense and set piece for me are the foundations.
Looking at Andre Smith, unsung hero again. That guy is just getting stronger and better.
Big time.
And don't you think there is a little bit of Bucky's Rogue about it?
Big time.
But the more consistent he gets in his discipline and kind of channels that aggression and emotion the right way, you start thinking, hey, the Stormers have an enforcer. I thought he was, again, outstanding. No, he's strong in the carry.
Very much so.
Evan Ruiz prospering from the back. I didn't care what anyone says to me about Evan Ruiz. Whatever the setup may be in the national thing, or if Rassie thinks he's seventh or sixth in the pecking order, that guy would be in any other national squad. He is the form number 8 in South Africa. He's playing incredible rugby, and his error rate is only because he does so much. Carries, tackles, work rate, he's there.
Yeah.
So I thought he was player of the match, and deservedly so, but a great game. And a special shout out from me is Neatlam Fushia. Came on and wow, the damage that guy did, and in such an understated way. It looks like he's, for me, it always looks at the scrum reset like he's telling you where to sit at a wedding reception. He's so calm, like you're on table 4, by the way, I'll come chat to you now. He's like the best man, and he's conducting, and I just love that calm and that presence about him. You look again at the big players here who are starting to come at the right time, eh? And he's just one of those guys that just doesn't get the props. Excuse the play on the word.
No, he really is. I mean, Nitling's a fantastic, obviously fantastic front row forward, a Springbok, a guy, you know, who can produce at the highest level. I think he's been underrated his whole career. And I think I still believe he's going to be at that next World Cup and adding massive value. You talk about understated guys who don't get their props. Paulie de Villiers and Dion Ferreira for me were massive in that game, forcing key turnovers. And then the two centres, Dan and Ruan, massive work rate off the ball again. Two understated guys. So, yeah, I mean, everybody chips in, everybody adds value, but those are guys that spring to mind.
And speak to Dobba. I mean, I know you guys have this this big, big kicking game. Riley Norton and Marcus Miller, get them in there, man. Get them into that.
Play the kids.
Play the kids. Play the kids and let's see. Play the kids and let's see what's going on, okay? We really, really, really need to see those youngsters, the two sensational schoolboys and under 20 captain. When we won the world championship last year, Riley Norton, he's playing lock and he's playing 7 flank for the under 23 side. Marcus Miller was included in that squad. I love it. Like Hilemi, Yaku Williams, what JP's done, the Bulls Lions have no qualms in playing young kids. So get that youthful injection going along with the old Hardebarde.
Yep.
We can conquer the world, and we being any team from South Africa. Looking at conquering, mate, Hybrid Tools, Steco, hybrid power tool of the week. I need a nomination from the Lions, the Sharks, the Bulls, and the Stormers, and we haven't chatted about this while they are, guys. So we will then make a call on who gets our award this week. And the guy who always introduces it is the ultimate hybrid. You know who he is. He's Andre the Giant.
Some players choose a side. They've always said a back can never be a forward. But with Steco, Ryobi didn't just reinvent the rules. It changed the entire game. Hybrid tools for a hybrid craftsman. Steco, shaping the future. 40 years of Ryobi credibility.
Okay, mate. Well, I mean, we've got to pick a try from each of these games. I think I know who I would like to win this award. But let's go for it. I mean, with the Lions, I know Nico Stain scored a double there. I thought Kieran Horn was outstanding. A hybrid player involved in all facets of game, even though he didn't get on the score sheet. He was hands in at the ruck, forcing turnovers, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. He's a fantastic player for them. At the Sharks, there were some tries. Not a great performance, but I thought Yao Penke had a good game, scored a beautiful try. Then with the Bulls, mate, probably my try of the week, I thought Cheswell Eustace racing through the entire backfield to score his try. Just an absolute exhibition of speed. And then for the Stormers, there were a couple there, mate. Into Tuko Mkunu, just breaking away like a center, mate, at full speed. And then for the second week in a row, mate, scoring a try off the opposition scrum, Dion Ferreira right at the end on the buzzer, diving on that ball. So those are some of the options. I don't know if any of those are what you had in mind.
Well, you've got to look at the individual brilliance of Mr. Penke.
Okay. Right? Is that your guy?
No. I'm just saying you've got to look at the individual brilliance of him. A wonderful try. When I look at the Lions, like now that I'm looking all the time, Rowan Fent, anything he does, I'm like, you go, big boy.
You're riding him into the spring box.
Man, I'm just, this guy can do anything, right? He's like, pick him. Also, just the way they've got their systems right with Nico staying coming in. You know, they want to play Pete off the bench as well at the moment, but like you guys are playing Emi Khan off the bench,
yeah,
kind of growing into that role. So can't argue with what the most understated fullback in the country, Mr. Horn. I love the way he plays, and he kind of does so much that just doesn't get given the credit because he's not necessarily scoring three tries. Then the Stormers, again, just the touches of Boogeyman and explain it a little bit, like just a little bit. You work with this guy every day in terms of his dates and that. People seem to see the pass that he overruns or the kind of where he's thinking, and you can see he sees six options and then he lobs it to someone who saw no options and the ball gets knocked on and everyone's like, what's that Oak doing? Yeah. Like just high level summary, what makes him
special? No, he's just a fabulous playmaker. Warwick sees the whole field, understands the opposition backfield better than anybody. He's just an absolute quality playmaker. And I think the difference with him is like, you know, he's a guy who, if there's an opportunity to score a try, he's going to give you your best shot to unlock that opportunity. And some of his touches, some of his sort of handling skills around that and his kicking game are massive in that department. So have there been times where there are high error rates? Sure. I think that's probably got a lot more to do with where the team is at in the context of that situation. But if you look historically, the Stormer success has very much been directly linked to Boogie's offloads, Boogie's playmaking, Boogie's decision-making. So I rate him very, very highly. Very, very good player.
All right. But not good enough to win our award this weekend.
No.
Because we don't want to be accused of Stormers bias. The award for me has to come out of that Bulls game. It's got to be something special to beat Nizam Carr last week and then Mapimpi produced that special moment. I thought there's got to be something really spectacular to beat Andre Pollard. A 6-minute turnover, a 10 making a turnover on the ground, and then nailing those two clutch kicks 50 meters and basically giving them that 2-score space the whole time. So what can beat that? I can't argue with you, bro. That SA under 20 winner is going to be a Springbok this year. It's, as Jake White used to say, it is athletics. When a winner's got pace.
I love that.
When people used to say.
I love that.
But it's not about, I remember the Zoli Yeye, the manager, once said to Jake, why are you picking Habana on the win? And why aren't you picking another player? And he said, because of pace. And he said, this isn't athletics, this is rugby. And as my banner was flying past someone, Jake was screaming, it is athletics when it comes to winners. Okay. And when you saw Yuster score, it was like he was running the 200 on the bend.
Mate.
Well, that is just out and out gas. And what a special plan. We talk about our props in South Africa and our loose forwards. Well, we are blessed with winners, eh?
Mate, and also, like, because of the guys like here, Aplan, Chesn Colby, Kurt Arendse, the diminutive speedsters, we're not guessing now. Those guys have blazed that trail. We know that there is application for that kind of speed despite size at the top level. And you can already see where Cheswell is trending, right? You can see that fit. I mean, when you make 29 other pro athletes on a rugby field look slow, you've got something. So just the speed of that guy is unbelievable. And the way he just weaved through that defense like it was nothing, incredible. I'm still loath to pick that try ahead of scoring from an opposition scrum like the Stormers did, but it is a good choice. It was really electric. I just a tip of the cap to the fat boys that scored that one.
So this weekend on our show, the Steco Hybrid Power Tool Hero is Cheswell Yuster of the Bulls and soon to be of the Springboks. Looking at the Investec Champions Cup,
yeah, brother,
we're going to chat in more detail later in the week with all eight last 16 yes. playoffs. There is the predictor. If you go onto the EPCR and the Investec Champions Cup, you go onto their platform and their Super Brew. Play it this weekend. 14, take the Bulls and the Sharks out. There's 14 teams out of the 16, including of those two, sorry, that have South African coaches or players in it. So we'll be talking at length about them and their challenge. But no show is complete without schools. And this weekend is massive in South Africa. It's one of the biggest weekends. It's all the festivals. We will be talking about that in greater detail. Zels will be doing his research on schools. He'll be coming in here later in the week telling me who's who in the zoo when it comes to schools. But this weekend, Zels, just a couple of the results that stunned or shocked you.
I've got no idea, mate. You tell me what happened.
I will tell you, mate. And if you just go to SA Rugby Magazine, as I'm going to do now, and you go to that wonderful rap that What's His Name puts together.
Klaasfontein beats Stellenberg, mate. 21-20.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that Stellenberg's going to learn now. Jeez. Is the moment you start kind of winning, okay, people start knocking you
paying attention.
Over,
yeah.
Paying attention over. And then Paul Roos, big win. Against Monument, they had a 5-21-17, and obviously Grey College, they were on the move. And then today, go to SA Rugby Magazine, go onto the Keo blog, and go to all those schoolboy sites you do, because there is rugby in the big North-South at Uffies, the big North-South tournament, they're big games, and Stellenberg, they are playing Grey College. So maybe Klaasfontein was that they played a mix and match, that's going to be the big test. They did beat Paul Jim in the big game in Cape Town, a fortnight ago, that either set them up for glory this season or incredible disappointment, because now everyone's coming for them. But schools rugby, it's at the heart of it. You a big fan of American football.
Yes,
someone's
sir.
Likened in New Zealand, I saw one of the scribes likened the South African school scene to the American college scene. How accurate would you say that?
Yeah, so the American high school scene, absolutely. I mean, they play Friday Night Lights High School, Saturday night is college, and then Sunday is the pros. We don't have the college system here in South Africa, but we certainly have the high school feeder system in rugby. I can't think of anything that comes close to what we produce in terms of our schoolboy talents in South Africa. It is peerless.
And then you also know every Monday, and I get so many emails, WhatsApps, and just messages on social media. It's guys, no matter where they are stationed in the world or position, they always look at that first 15 result and say, hey, I see your school lost, I see my school won, or what's going on in the South African landscape at the moment? Who is the Stellenberg that's knocking over everyone?
Yep.
Hey, since you moved to Australia 23 years ago, mate, things have changed, okay? It's not just Boys Eye and Chum anymore. So always incredible interest in the school's rugby, incredible interest in South African rugby. We're in such a good space. Rugby's greatest rivalry. All Blacks are coming. There's so much talk in New Zealand at the moment about they're not talking about a brand anymore. They're talking about a rugby team. Wow. How much
amazing
music to the ears.
Wow, okay. That's fabulous.
That to look forward to. Investec Champions Cup, last 16s. The Lions are looking forward to a break. Zales is looking forward to a break from me. He's got to go back to the HPC. The Stormers fly out, as the Bulls do on Tuesday for their big ones. We'll be back later in the week. But for those who do tune into SA Rugby Magazine, 100,000 Rand could be yours. Just give us your name, your bank account details, and everything else, and you could be in to win 100,000. Just register. You also get to download the DigiMag, the monthly mag, free. And for those from KZN, we haven't forgotten about you, because Ethan Hooker will be the next cover of SA Rugby Magazine.